Royal Commission of Inquiry into COVID-19 Lessons Learned. Phase 2. Public Hearings. Producers note. This document shows the logo of Te Tira Arai Urutara, NZ Royal Commission COVID-19 Lessons Learned. This document was produced as a single audio file, primarily for blind, deafblind and low vision people, by Accessible Information and Communications Limited on the 17th of December 2025. Being a single file, navigation to different sections is not supported. More information about our production process is given at the end. In this document there are links to long website URLs. If we think a URL may be difficult to hear or remember, our approach is to set it up as a short URL in the form aicomms.nz followed by /in then 4 digits, which is much easier to hear and remember than a typical URL. When you browse to one of these URLs, your browser will automatically redirect to the original long URL. End of producer's note. Royal Commission of Inquiry into COVID-19 Lessons Learned. Phase 2. Public Hearings. This document provides an update on the work of the Royal Commission of Inquiry into COVID-19 Lessons Learned and provides a summary of the public hearings held by the inquiry in July 2025. Introduction. What is the Royal Commission of Inquiry into COVID-19 Lessons Learned? The Royal Commission of Inquiry into COVID-19 Lessons Learned, the inquiry, was set up by the New Zealand government in 2022 to review Aotearoa New Zealand's COVID-19 experience so the country can be more prepared for future pandemics. The inquiry uses publicly available information, evidence gathered from key decision makers, and information from people who were impacted by Aotearoa New Zealand's response to the pandemic to review our country's response to the pandemic. We then make recommendations to the government on how Aotearoa New Zealand could prepare for and respond to a future pandemic. The purpose of a Royal Commission of Inquiry is to review matters of public importance. The inquiry is set up to be independent from the government. The inquiry reviewed many areas of Aotearoa New Zealand's COVID-19 response in 2023 and 2024 and published a report which you can read on our website aicomms.nz/6925. At the end of 2024, the government asked us to review some new topics and also to look in more detail at some of the topics we were already investigating. This part of the inquiry is called Phase 2. As well as looking at different topics, this phase of the inquiry is also led by different people with different areas of expertise. We will produce another report on these topics by the 26th of February 2026. What topics is the inquiry looking at? The inquiry is currently looking at key decisions made by the New Zealand government during 2021 and 2022 on the following topics. Vaccines, including vaccine mandates, approvals of the COVID-19 vaccine, and vaccine safety, including monitoring and reporting of adverse reactions. Adverse reactions are harmful effects suspected to be caused by a medicine or vaccine. Lockdowns, especially the national lockdown of late 2021 and the Auckland and Northland lockdowns of late 2021 and early 2022. Testing, tracing, and public health materials, like RAT tests or masks. A key decision is a decision the government made that impacted a large number of people or had a large cost at a regional or national level, or both. The inquiry will review the key decisions made by the government in these areas and provide recommendations on how Aotearoa New Zealand could make decisions during a future pandemic, as well as how we could prepare for a future pandemic more broadly. What has the inquiry done so far? The inquiry is working on a second report, which is due the 26th of February 2026. So far, the inquiry has gathered submissions from the New Zealand public. The inquiry heard from more than 31,000 people, community groups and organisations who shared their experiences of the COVID-19 pandemic in Aotearoa, New Zealand. Met with government officials, ministers and other people involved in making key decisions during the pandemic. Met with community groups, businesses, and organizations around New Zealand to hear about how different communities experience the pandemic. Gathered written information about the pandemic and the New Zealand government's response to it from government organizations and other stakeholders. Held a week of public hearings to hear further from community groups, organizations, and experts about their experience of the pandemic. Public hearings. Why did the inquiry hold public hearings? The inquiry held public hearings to hear how different people and groups experienced the pandemic in Aotearoa, New Zealand. The hearings also allowed the public to learn more about the kinds of information the inquiry is gathering about the COVID-19 pandemic in New Zealand. The inquiry held the hearings in Taramaki, Makaurau, Auckland. This is because we were asked to look specifically at the impact of lockdowns on Taumaki, Makaurau, Auckland and Te Tokoro Northland, and we wanted to hear from a range of people who live in those areas. What happened during the public hearings? During the public hearings, the inquiry heard from different organizations, community groups and experts about the COVID-19 pandemic and how the government responded to the pandemic in New Zealand. The witnesses who attended were asked questions about their experiences of the COVID-19 pandemic in New Zealand. They were especially asked about vaccine safety, vaccine mandates, and lockdowns. The inquiry asked people to speak at the hearings who could share a range of experiences and perspectives on these topics. A full list of the people who spoke at the hearings, as well as recordings of each session with subtitles, are available on our website, aicomms.nz/5378. Public Hearings, Day 1. Perspectives from the Taumaki Makaurau Auckland Business Community. The inquiry heard from Heart of the City, the Employers and Manufacturers Association, and Whariki Business Network. Heart of the City is the business association for Auckland's city centre. They aim to make Auckland Central successful and supportive for businesses. The Employers and Manufacturers Association is New Zealand's largest business association, supporting businesses to succeed across the whole country. Whariki Business Network supports Māori businesses and professionals across Aotearoa, New Zealand. They told the inquiry, the extended Auckland lockdown in 2021 caused a lot of economic and emotional strain for businesses who had already faced significant strain during the pandemic. Although government initiatives like the wage subsidy were helpful, the impacts of the pandemic are still being felt in 2025. Government mandates were complicated for businesses to manage and implement, leading to staff and customer challenges. Mixed messages and misinformation caused confusion and difficulties, although the Ministry for Business, Innovation and Employment did provide a hotline that helped. Social issues like homelessness put further pressure on businesses and people living and working in central Auckland. More visible police and health services could have helped with recovery from the pandemic period. While the Māori community received significant support, Māori businesses did not feel as supported. However, businesses did work together to support each other. Racism escalated during the pandemic period. To help prepare for future pandemics, they recommended businesses be involved in pandemic planning from the start. Businesses, government agencies, and communities maintain the relationships they built during the pandemic to keep working better together. Creating targeted pandemic support and responses for places with different needs. Offering clear and accessible information that works for different communities. Perspectives from the Te Tokoro Northland Business Community. The inquiry heard from North Chamber. North Chamber is the Northland Chamber of Commerce who advocates for and develops businesses in Te Tokoro Northland. They told the inquiry, financial support provided by the government wasn't enough to cover all business costs, especially during the lockdowns. Businesses didn't like vaccine mandates because they felt like the government didn't trust them to do the right thing and manage the pandemic themselves. Local businesses felt ignored by the government decision makers, as they felt many of the decisions made by government were hard to implement. They also faced unique challenges because of the extended Auckland lockdowns, which cut Northland off from the rest of the country. Local businesses are still feeling the impacts of the pandemic. To prepare for future pandemics, they recommended collaborating with different regions to make pandemic response decisions that suit each region, or to find ways that different regions can follow public health decisions while still operating their businesses. Engaging with people rather than making everyone follow a mandate. Gathering feedback from local areas about how government decisions are working for them. Perspectives from Waikato and Waitaha Canterbury businesses. The inquiry heard from the New Zealand National Field Days Society and from Willowbank Wildlife Reserve. The New Zealand National Field Days Society is a not-for-profit organisation committed to supporting the advancement of agriculture in Aotearoa, New Zealand. Willowbank Wildlife Reserve is a New Zealand-themed wildlife park in Ōtautahi, Christchurch that also conducts wildlife research and conservation projects. They told the inquiry, event organisers faced financial challenges because of postponed or cancelled events. Constant changes to pandemic rules caused uncertainty for event planners. Mandates were hard for event planners as they weren't designed with events in mind. A lack of tourism was a big challenge for businesses like Willowbank, with the Auckland lockdown having a big impact on local tourism. To prepare for future pandemics, they recommended government decisions consider specific industry requirements when making the rules, providing clear, consistent pathways for reopening after a lockdown, letting customers and exhibitors make their own choices about whether to go ahead with events. Public hearings, day 2. Research perspectives on the social impact of lockdowns. The inquiry heard from the Care and Responsibility Under Lockdown, CARUL, Research Collective. CARUL is an international group of social sciences experts who investigate how social groups and institutions reacted to the various challenges the COVID-19 pandemic posed and continues to pose. They told the inquiry, their research showed that people supported lockdowns at the beginning of the pandemic, but that people struggled to live under restrictions as time went on. Support for lockdowns was high when people understood they were protecting vulnerable people and stopping the virus. People supported lockdowns when they understood the need for them, not when they were forced to do so. Some people didn't like being put in lockdown to protect unvaccinated people. Some people needed more mental health support for the distress they felt. More financial support and access to services was needed. To prepare for future pandemics, they recommended, government lockdown policies should consider a variety of different living situations. More and improved social services, mental health support, and financial support during and after lockdowns. Making sure police know the lockdown rules before others so they are seen as an authority in them, and ensuring that community authorities are well informed of lockdown rules so they can successfully help people to follow them. Making sure different voices are heard to both inform decision-making and to help with healing and social cohesion. Perspectives from the disabled community, their whānau and carers. The inquiry heard from the Auckland Council Disability Advisory Group, Disability Connect, Complex Care Group, Kakarunga and Te Ruapu Waiora. The Auckland Council Disability Advisory Group uses their lived experience to identify issues important to the disabled community and advise the council. Their co-chair shared his lived experience with the inquiry. Disability Connect helped disabled people or family members of disabled people navigate the New Zealand disability sector. Complex Care Group is a support and information network for carers of those with very high and complex needs. Kaikaranga work with disabled people and their families to access support and live their lives the way they want to live them. Te Ruapu Waiora is a kaupapa Māori organization founded and governed by whānau with physical, sensory and intellectual disabilities that provides information, advice and support to their communities. They told the inquiry, there were significant gaps in the support and information available for disabled communities. Some examples of this included access to respite care and access to education that met the needs of disabled learners. Disabled people had to improvise solutions, like using dishwashing gloves for PPE. Communication from the government wasn't appropriate, with the use of new terms like bubble, first used to describe the group you isolated with during lockdowns, causing challenges and a lack of information being available in accessible formats. Waikaha Māori, those who are Māori and disabled, often missed out on services because the services for Māori were not appropriate for disabled users and the services for disabled people were not appropriate for Māori. They felt government agencies did not talk to each other when they should. Masks were a real communication challenge for deaf lip readers. Carers experienced fatigue when stuck in bubbles, and clients were anxious when staff had to be changed due to the risk of infection. There was often a shortage of appropriate care staff, which meant family and community groups had to fill the gaps. Fear and anxiety levels were very high in disabled communities. Views on vaccination were mixed. Some people were worried that vaccination would make their conditions worse, while others were eager for the protection as they were immunocompromised. There have been long-term impacts on families, like worse mental health, from the stress of the pandemic. To prepare for future pandemics, they recommended actively involving disabled communities in planning and decision-making, rather than treating them like a problem to be solved. Making sure information is communicated to disabled communities in easy-to-understand and culturally appropriate ways. Developing a strategy specifically for the Māori disability community. Perspectives from the general practice sector. The inquiry heard from General Practice New Zealand, the General Practice Owners Association, and Hauora Te Whenua Rural Health Network. General Practice New Zealand is a national membership organisation providing leadership, advocacy and voice for primary care. The General Practice Owners Association represents general practice owners and provides advocacy for their members to government. Hauora Te Whenua Rural Health Network is a collective organisation that advocates for the health and well-being of rural New Zealanders. They told the inquiry, early lockdowns were appropriate and general practitioners were able to make rapid adjustments to keep providing care. Despite this, they ended up behind on regular care-like screenings. General practitioners expected to be more involved in providing COVID-19 vaccinations to the community, given their role in administering all other vaccinations. General practitioners spent a lot of time combating misinformation and they are still seeing the impact of this. For example, less children are now getting vaccinated. Vaccine mandates were difficult to implement, but general practitioners generally supported them as they felt they were good for the community overall. General practitioners are seeing a lot of ongoing effects, for example, long COVID, an increase in anxiety rates, and financial insecurity. To prepare for future pandemics, they recommended government better understand the role general practitioners play in providing vaccinations, taking social media misinformation more seriously and providing resources to fight misinformation, using trusted voices like certain health providers or IWI to help people feel comfortable with vaccines, thinking very carefully about the design of vaccine mandates and making them more specific in the future. Perspectives of older people. The inquiry heard from He Manaakitanga Kaumātua Aotearoa Age Concern New Zealand and Grey Power New Zealand Federation. He Manaakitanga Kaumātua Aotearoa Age Concern New Zealand is a charity for people over 65 and their friends and whānau. They provide expert information and services for older people. Grey Power New Zealand Federation advances, supports and protects the welfare and well-being of older people. They told the inquiry, many older people were scared of COVID-19, but they were also quick to embrace new opportunities like shopping online or putting teddy bears in windows for the neighborhood children to see. Most older people followed rules very carefully due to past experiences with polio or other diseases. It was hard for older people who weren't digitally connected to access services or follow requirements like vaccine passes. Lockdowns were hard for older people living alone, and the second lockdown was particularly hard for them. Age Concern lost many volunteers due to vaccine mandates. To prepare for future pandemics, they recommended being aware of the existing digital divide, which gets worse during a crisis, using existing organizations and giving them the funding they need to support their communities in a pandemic, providing free rapid antigen tests, RATs, to help calm the fears of older people. Perspectives from the Pacific community. The inquiry heard from Pacifica Futures. Pacifica Futures works with providers around the country to support Pacific families in the areas of health, housing, education, training and economic development. They told the inquiry, Pacifica Futures used their existing systems and data to help support the government's response to COVID-19. Lockdowns had a big impact on education for Pacific students, and no government action has been taken to address this. Pacific students often had no access to devices, so they couldn't learn remotely. Their long-term life and education opportunities have been affected. Pacific communities needed help with food, rent money, navigating the benefit system, childcare and pet care. Pacific communities generally followed government rules, including with vaccine mandates. Pacific communities got sick more often from COVID-19 than many other groups. This was partly because of existing social, economic and health challenges in these communities. Pacific families experienced levels of racism, finger-pointing and stigma, which took a toll on mental health, and with families feeling afraid to reach out for support. There were not many Pacific speakers on Healthline, which made communication difficult for Pacific community members who didn't speak English well and weren't familiar with government systems. They felt the work of Pacific people at the border, hospitals and quarantine hotels was not recognized and appreciated. They were proud of the Pacific community provider response. To prepare for future pandemics, they recommended addressing the existing social, economic, education and health challenges facing Pacific communities, using trusted Pacific leaders to share messages about keeping safe from pandemics and providing culturally appropriate and local solutions to Pacific communities, supporting Pacific essential workers at borders, hospitals and hotels. Public hearings, Day 3. Perspectives from Auckland communities. The inquiry heard from CNSST Foundation, Falelalanga Village Limited and Congregational Christian Church of Samoa in Mangere East. CNSST Foundation offers support and services to Asian migrants and New Zealand communities with settlement, education, housing and more. Falelalanga Limited supports connections between Samoan people and their history, culture, heritage and identity. Congregational Christian Church of Samoa in Mangere East is a large church congregation and community center that supported the Samoan and wider Pacific communities during the COVID-19 pandemic. They told the inquiry, access to information was an issue for Pacific communities, with both misinformation and a lack of information in other languages causing this problem. Isolation was also a challenge for Pacific communities, who were not used to being separated from their communities and families. Both Pacific and Asian communities worked together to make their own resources and run their own pandemic responses rather than waiting for government support. Both Pacific and Asian communities mostly chose to follow government rules around vaccination, despite some doubts. Some people felt that offering food parcels in exchange for getting vaccinated was a bribe and was undignified. It was hard for children of lower-income families to stay engaged in school because they couldn't access the internet or devices needed to do their learning online. They generally felt like they learned from what happened in 2020 and were more prepared to face the pandemic in 2021. To prepare for future pandemics, they recommended making sure government communications are accessible to all communities and communities are prepared for the changes required to face a pandemic. Planning for the disruptions to education that a pandemic causes, including supporting teachers and making sure children have access to devices and the internet. Considering how pandemic rules impact people's social, emotional, and spiritual lives when responding to a pandemic. Rather than offering rewards to get people vaccinated, the government should help people learn about vaccines and work with their community leaders to make an informed choice. Perspectives from Te Kounihera o Tāmaki Makaurau Auckland Council. The inquiry heard from Te Kounihera o Tāmaki Makaurau Auckland Council. Te Kounihera o Tāmaki Makaurau Auckland Council is the local government council for the Tāmaki Makaurau Auckland region. They are responsible for providing public services to the Auckland region. They told the inquiry, using many different channels to communicate with different communities was important. The long-term social and economic impacts of the pandemic have become the new normal. They had to fill a lot of support gaps until government support arrived, and this was challenging. Lots of new challenges came up as lockdowns kept going. These challenges included needing to make more people essential workers as more tasks became essential, like machines that needed maintenance after a long lockdown that didn't need maintenance after a short lockdown, or working with parents whose children were struggling without access to community areas like playgrounds. Staff experienced a lot of abuse for enforcing government rules. Council staff also struggled with excluding people who weren't vaccinated from facilities, although they did try to find ways to include everyone. Some community relationships, like the ones between the council and Maori and Pacific communities, got stronger after working together during the pandemic. To prepare for future pandemics, they recommended building and maintaining good community relationships, making sure planning approaches consider what to do when lockdowns continue for a long time, considering giving local government a bigger role in the legislation that covers pandemics. Perspectives from Maori health and social service providers. The inquiry heard from Te Whanau o Waiparera and Tamaki ki Te Tonga District Māori Council. Te Whanau o Waiparera provide health, legal, housing and education services and support for whanau of all ages in West Auckland. Tamaki ki Te Tonga District Māori Council is the New Zealand Māori Council's district council for South Auckland. The council supports Māori community development and government policy development. They told the inquiry, lockdowns made existing distrust in government worse for Māori, causing issues with support and increasing hospitalizations for Māori. Funding for Māori family support was not enough. Lockdowns created safety problems in family violence situations and stopped people from getting important health services, leading to delayed diagnoses and care. Moving court and social work online was difficult for many Māori families due to a lack of technology and digital skills. Vaccination rules were seen as going against Māori self-determination and led to a loss of Māori workers. The strict rules also caused protests and competition among providers. The age-based vaccine rollout put Māori at a disadvantage because they are a younger group with higher health needs. Not enough education about mandates and a lack of support from some community leaders made things harder. The best lockdown responses came from strong partnerships with local government and creating solutions that focused on Māori families, were community-led and culturally appropriate. There's a clear need for real discussions with Māori in future expert groups and to strengthen existing community support systems. To prepare for future pandemics, they recommended involving communities in future pandemic plans, predominantly Indigenous and vulnerable groups, to create effective and trusted solutions. Addressing digital inequality when delivering remote services by providing internet access, devices and digital literacy support. Designing vaccination campaigns fairly and in a culturally appropriate way, prioritizing high-need communities and working with trusted leaders. Protecting vulnerable families during pandemics by planning for risks like increased family harm and ensuring ongoing health services. Perspectives from the education sector. The inquiry heard from Ngātumuaki o Aotearoa New Zealand Principals Federation and Kaitaia College. Ngātumuaki o Aotearoa New Zealand Principals Federation provides support and a professional voice for more than 2,000 school principals throughout Aotearoa New Zealand. Kaitaia College is a secondary school located in Kaitaia, Te Taitokoro Northland with just under 1,000 students. Kitaya was under extended lockdown restrictions along with the wider Northland region. They told the inquiry, many students, especially in rural and low-income areas, lacked computers and reliable internet access, forcing schools to rely on parents' phones and social media. Schools also found it hard to contact some students during lockdowns. Students with learning difficulties, disabilities, or neurodivergence suffered the most. They often disengaged from school due to a lack of specific support and in-person help from specialist teachers. Teachers faced immense stress balancing family needs with online teaching, leading to widespread burnout. This stress got worse over time. The Principals Federation supported vaccine mandates because teachers were educating young people and wanted to keep them safe. However, vaccine mandates divided staff and caused experienced educators to leave the profession. Some healing is still needed. Parents were scared of letting their children return to school even after lockdowns had ended. Principals became vital community leaders during the lockdowns, filling gaps in welfare and communication. Schools provided wider community support to help with challenges faced by the Northland community. It took a lot of work and creativity to keep people supported, both because of lockdowns and because of the challenges faced by Northland residents like very remote communities. They are still seeing students struggling with learning gaps and mental health challenges in 2025. To prepare for future pandemics, they recommended making sure all students, especially those in disadvantaged areas, already have good access to the internet and devices. Making sure students who have special needs have the support they need to learn. Getting school principals involved in pandemic planning as they play an important role in both schools and wider communities, stopping the misinformation and disinformation that occurred. Making sure the guidance from the government is clear and easy to put into action during a crisis. That mandates should consider staff well-being and also how to best maintain unity in the workplace. Perspectives from young people. The inquiry heard from young people active in their communities in Te Taitokoro Northland and Tāmaki Makaurau, Auckland. They told the inquiry, lockdowns were necessary, but they were very hard for young people. They lost social connections and access to education. People got more upset about pandemic requirements as the pandemic went on, especially around wearing masks and receiving vaccines. Young people noticed division in New Zealand during the pandemic. One of the witnesses talked about experiencing hostility enforcing vaccine passes and mask mandates in a hospitality setting. Another talked about the exclusion he experienced due to being unvaccinated. To prepare for future pandemics, they recommended making sure the impact on education and society are well understood and considered when facing a pandemic. Developing better support systems for young people during a crisis. Working with different communities to find solutions that work for them, as not all communities have the same needs. Public hearings, Day 4. Perspectives on vaccine safety from advocacy groups. The inquiry heard from the Health Forum New Zealand, Voices for Freedom, and New Zealand Doctors Speaking Out with Science. The Health Forum New Zealand is a grassroots voluntary organisation that offers support to New Zealanders who have experiences of COVID-19 vaccine injury. Voices for Freedom, VFF, is a grassroots organisation that has been vocal about Aotearoa New Zealand's pandemic response. New Zealand Doctors Speaking Out with Science, NZDSOS, is a collective of medical professionals who have been vocal about Aotearoa New Zealand's response to COVID-19. They told the inquiry, many people were concerned about how quickly the Pfizer vaccine was developed, as well as the mRNA technology used in the vaccine. Government messaging around the vaccine was not clear about side effects and led to anyone concerned about the vaccine being called a conspiracy theorist. It was very hard to get a vaccine exemption, and many people who had allergies or experienced side effects after the first dose were unable to receive an exemption. Trust in government and medical systems have been damaged because of the pandemic response. Government decisions to respond to the pandemic breached human rights and were not necessary to respond to COVID-19. To prepare for future pandemics, they recommended considering alternative views and opinions rather than censoring them. Addressing concerns about how quickly vaccines are developed. Allowing access to alternate treatment options. Perspectives on misinformation and disinformation. The inquiry heard from Fighting Against Conspiracy Theories, FACT, Aotearoa. FACT Aotearoa is a volunteer group of activists fighting against conspiracy theories and disinformation in Aotearoa, New Zealand. They told the inquiry, FACT Aotearoa provided a range of support during the pandemic, from supporting MIQ, quarantine, workers facing protests, sharing information online, and providing resources to help people fight against misinformation. People responded better when they didn't feel judged for believing incorrect information. They felt there was a gap to be filled in helping fight disinformation and conspiracy theories. To prepare for future pandemics, they recommended providing people with resources to address misinformation and disinformation, making sure that misinformation is addressed without judging those who believe it, working with community groups and trusted sources to deliver correct information to their communities. Perspectives on vaccine science research. The inquiry heard from Professor Graham LaGros, former director of the Malagan Institute of Medical Research and the Vaccine Alliance Aotearoa New Zealand or HU Kaupara Huaketo, VAANZ. The Malagan Institute of Medical Research is a research charity focusing on biomedical science, especially cancer and infectious diseases. VANCE is a collaboration between the Malagan Institute, Te Herenga Waka Victoria University of Wellington, and Otago Whakahu Waka, the University of Otago. It was established in 2020 to research Aotearoa New Zealand's ability to create our own COVID-19 vaccine. Professor LaGros told the inquiry, "The rapid development of the COVID-19 vaccine was a result of lots of resources being devoted to it and because clinical trials were run at the same time instead of one after the other. The clinical trials involved tens of thousands of people and were conducted safely. Research on the virus that causes COVID-19 also helped with vaccine development, as did research on the mRNA technology used in the vaccine. Vaccine side effects do happen, but they are very rare. We also don't yet know a lot about what the long-term consequences of catching COVID-19 could be, but we know that the COVID-19 vaccine is very safe." To prepare for future pandemics, he recommended maintaining an open scientific debate while ensuring proper scientific rigor, continuing to monitor systems for rare adverse reactions, ensuring people with sensitive immune systems consult doctors before vaccination, basing decisions on comprehensive scientific evidence rather than soundbites. Public hearings, Day 5. Perspectives from mandated industries. The inquiry heard from the Port Company's CEO group, Hutor Hornes St. John, Autism New Zealand, and Hospitality New Zealand. The Port Company's CEO group is made up of the leaders of companies that provide essential infrastructure in Aotearoa New Zealand's supply chain. Hutor Hornes St. John is a charitable organization that is at the front line of medical responses, providing ambulance and other health-related services throughout Aotearoa New Zealand. Autism New Zealand is a support service, education and information provider for autistic people, their families, whānau caregivers and professionals who engage with them. Hospitality New Zealand is a voluntary trade association representing 2,500 hospitality and commercial accommodation businesses. They told the inquiry, "Extra planning was required for disabled communities as many of their services could not be provided remotely. Disruptions in routine caused by the pandemic were incredibly stressful for autistic people and their families. While essential workers were less impacted by pandemic effects like job losses, their families and communities still experienced those impacts. Clear communications and reassurance were important for keeping people safe and well." The port said they faced challenges because the Ministry of Health did not understand how ports functioned. They also faced challenges because they hire a lot of specialized workers that couldn't be easily replaced if they got sick with COVID-19. St. John was able to respond as successfully as they did because they had a lot of systems in place already. They were also able to learn from their colleagues overseas. They said their biggest challenge was not getting as many resources as hospitals did. After the first lockdown, many people spent more money to celebrate being out of lockdown. This didn't happen after the second lockdown, which made life hard for hospitality businesses. Small businesses like restaurants and cafes struggled with understanding and implementing all the rules around mandates. This was very stressful for businesses. Hospitality New Zealand had to provide a lot of support to help these businesses follow government rules. To prepare for future pandemics, they recommended the government should work with industry bodies to prepare and set up clear guidelines and support, making sure New Zealand has plenty of PPE, personal protective equipment, stock, like masks, and easy ways to distribute it to those who need it, making sure the entire healthcare system is considered equally in preparing for and responding to pandemics, doing regular practice exercises for responding to pandemics, preparing in advance for online and in-person support that may be needed for disabled communities during a pandemic. Perspectives from the nursing and midwifery sectors. The inquiry heard from Tōpūtanga Tapuhi Kaitiaki or Aotearoa New Zealand Nurses Organisation and Te Kaireti o Ngā Kaiwhakawhānau ki Aotearoa New Zealand College of Midwives. Tōpūtanga Tapuhi Kaitiaki or Aotearoa New Zealand Nurses Organisation is the union and professional body for nursing in Aotearoa New Zealand. Te Kāreti o ngā kaiwhakawhānau ki Aotearoa New Zealand College of Midwives is the professional organisation and recognised voice for midwives and student midwives in Aotearoa New Zealand. They told the inquiry, nurses faced challenges with making sure their families didn't get COVID-19 and with the healthcare sector not being ready to face a pandemic. They were also scared of what would happen after seeing the large number of deaths happening overseas. Nurses struggled with stress and high workloads, as well as family members who were scared of catching COVID-19 from them. Nurses felt like more work could have been done during quieter periods to prepare for the later parts of the pandemic. Nurses felt like their views and experiences were not considered by the government during decision-making. Cleaners, security workers, and groundspeople at healthcare facilities were often forgotten about during the pandemic response. Midwives were supportive of vaccines, but they had some doubts about mandates as they were worried about pregnant people losing access to good care because midwives in their area did not want to be vaccinated. Because midwives offer care that can't be delayed, they were worried that a lack of midwives would be far worse than allowing unvaccinated midwives to work while wearing masks and other protective gear. Midwives generally supported lockdowns because they kept midwives and their clients safe from getting COVID-19 when most of their work still had to be done in person. To prepare for future pandemics, they recommended establishing a New Zealand-based Centre for Disease Control, ensuring Māori and Pacific nurses are included when planning for and facing a pandemic and that they are supported to lead in their communities, preparing the healthcare sector with more funding, that, if using mandates, prepare more for helping unvaccinated staff return to work or have more flexibility in allowing people to wear protective gear instead of getting vaccinated, engaging early with midwives, including Māori providers. Research perspectives on mandates. The inquiry heard from Professor Michael Plank from Te Whare Wānanga or Waitaha University of Canterbury and Professor Denise Wilson from Te Wānanga Aronui or Tāmaki Makau Rau Auckland University of Technology. Professor Plank is a researcher in mathematics and statistics who uses mathematics to understand biology and epidemiology, the study of how often diseases occur in different groups and why that happens. Professor Wilson began her career as a nurse before becoming a health researcher, focusing on health and social outcomes for Māori. Alongside her colleagues, she conducted research into the impact of mandates on the health sector. Professor Plank told the inquiry, "His work is in modelling, which helps understand how diseases spread and what effect that might have. The models he was involved in developing helped the government understand what might happen depending on what they did to manage the pandemic. One of the modelling studies showed that without vaccination, 6,500 more deaths and 45,000 more hospitalisations would have happened. Another study showed that excess deaths, the number of people that die compared to how many people we expect to die, were very low during the time that COVID-19 was being managed." Professor Wilson told the inquiry. Her research project on mandates included interviewing people about their experiences with mandates. Many people did not want to be involved in case they were judged or hurt more, and those who were interviewed were very emotional. Most people they interviewed were accepting of vaccines but were negatively impacted by the mandates, usually through losing their jobs or being judged as anti-vaxxers, people who are seen to be strongly against vaccines and who do not have a good reason for this view, and excluded from society. Most people had clear reasons for not wanting to be vaccinated, like previous bad reactions to a vaccine. To prepare for future pandemics, they recommended. Professor Plank, investing in modelling to make sure we are informed about what might happen, but also ensuring people are aware of what models can and can't do. Making sure vaccines are given on a fair and equitable basis. Professor Wilson, taking a more compassionate and flexible approach to mandates. Considering how unvaccinated people could move to work in other areas and making sure there is a clear plan for them to return to work once mandates end. Perspectives on communication regarding the vaccine. The inquiry heard from Associate Professor Helen Petusis-Harris from Waipapatomataro, the University of Auckland. Associate Professor Petusis-Harris is a researcher in medical and health sciences who specializes in vaccines. She told the inquiry, "Vaccination is a very efficient public health tool. It protects people and the wider community from getting sick. It also leads to less people getting hospitalized, so the healthcare system can keep working. Aotearoa New Zealand did not experience the large number of deaths and other impacts from COVID-19 that other countries did. Instead, we experienced the negative effects of responding to a pandemic, like job losses from lockdowns. People needed to know what the vaccine is for and its benefits and risks. This can be hard to do, as what needs to be communicated is constantly changing. The government needed to build trust with people before the pandemic so people felt confident following a government recommendation to be vaccinated. To prepare for future pandemics, she recommended making sure people understand how vaccines work before a crisis happens, including making information available from specialists and experts, building good communication channels with everyone and keeping them open at all times, working to understand vaccine hesitancy and where it comes from, preparing good communication that answers every question. This is vital for building trust in a pandemic response. What is next for the inquiry? The inquiry will continue to collect information to help review the topics laid out in our terms of reference. This information will be collected through interviews with key decision makers and advisors, written information provided by the government and other sources, and meetings with groups and organizations who experience the pandemic. After the inquiry has gathered the information needed, we will write our report. This report will cover the topics in the terms of reference and make recommendations to the government on how to prepare for future pandemics. All the information the inquiry has received will be considered together as we write our report. The report will also go through a natural justice and fact-checking process. This is a legal process where anyone who the inquiry makes an adverse finding about in the report, a finding that is critical of their actions or decisions, has the right to see that finding and respond to it before the report is finished. The report will be completed and given to the Governor-General by the 26th of February 2026. It will then be up to the government to release the report to the public and to act on the recommendations the inquiry makes. Producer's note: this audio version of this document was produced on the 17th of December 2025 by Accessible Information and Communications Limited, 2/13 Upland Road, Remuera, Auckland 10050. Phone 09-320-4173. Email info@aicomps.co.nz. Website www.aicomps.co.nz. This production was made using a computerized process for converting text-to-speech with a broadcast-quality human voice. Our process includes listening to the resulting speech and taking action to minimize pronunciation errors, including words in Te Reo Māori and Polynesian languages. This production is intended primarily for blind, deaf-blind and low-vision people. Feedback helps us improve the quality of our service. Please contact us to comment or raise any queries regarding our production of this document. End of document.